This is the Absolute Philosopher here in University of Philosophy, University of Healing in Capitol, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. And the Absolute Philosopher has something important to say today, as usual.
We are listening.
Huh?
We are listening.
Well, this is Dr. Herbert O'Barry, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, in Campbell, California, the Absolute Philosopher, bringing you the Absolute Philosophy. So, we have people in this world who would like to be healed. Healed of bad attitudes, healed of bad bodies, or not bad bodies, but healed of bodies that need to be polished a little bit, attitudes that need to be polished a little bit. Of habits that need to be polished a little bit, of relationships that need to be polished a little bit. And the act of doing this is quite simple, and it's very easy. The only difficulty about the act is that the person who says they want it don't want it. And that's it. So, good night.
No.
The person who says they want to have a good relationship is not willing to ignore what made a bad relationship. What made a bad relationship was that, well, for instance, they were just asking too many questions. They were wanting to know who they were out with and what these people were doing with, and they want to have a good relationship, and yet they stick their nose in somebody else's business. And they wonder why the relationship goes kaplooey. And it goes kaplooey because they do not really want a good relationship. They want, what kind of relationship do they want? Can you name me that relationship that you think they want? Possessive, yes. Controlling relationship. They want to control the relationships. Now, mothers control their children and usually their husbands. And yeah, that's not really laughable. That's a very sad state of affairs, because then the wife wonders why the husband does not cooperate in the family activities. Because the wife always says, this is what we do, this is where we go, this is how we do it, and this is what has to be done. Or the husband says, this is how we do it, this is where we go, this is where what it has to be done. And you see, it's not a mutual thing. Now, truly, if the husband did his thing and the wife did her thing, and it was harmonious with each other because that's what they knew they were doing before they got married, then that'd be great. They'd have no relationship problems. But they have a relationship problem because most people think, I'm going to fix him up, I'm going to train him after we get married, or I'll shape her up, you know, get her out of her mother's backyard and, you know, get her into life with me, you know, which is really wake her up to... There's more out there besides her mommy and her daddy, you know. And really, that's true. And this is what old God said. He said he created Adam and Eve. Eve was maybe 14, 15 years old, and Adam was 16 or 17. And they were just kids. And they didn't have any mother or father. God was their creator, but you can't call that a mother or father. And God didn't give them any advice. He didn't tell them what to do or how to act. They just did what came naturally. And they lived quite beautifully for many eons in paradise. You know what an eon is? Hundreds and hundreds of years. We don't know that they lived that way, but certainly they grew up there. And what is one of God's days? You know, a long period of time. So Adam and Eve had the same type of days that God had from that point of view. Okay. Now, for a relationship to be healed, whole, and perfect, it takes both parties loving themselves entirely and doing to the other person what they would like to have done to them. You know? It works every time. Now, if you have a need for health, and a lot of people have a need for health, the first thing they do is to go around announcing to the world what their need is. I got a cold. I got a sore back. Oh, I can't do this. My foot hurts. I did this. I did that. I stubbed my toe. Ow! And everybody in the world says, they're sick. They got problems. They're sick. They got problems. Whereas if you have a problem, which is stupid enough by itself, and then you don't tell anybody about it, sometimes not even a doctor, but I don't make that recommendation. That's a decision you make for yourself. You don't tell anybody about it. All you do is meditate and say, I like me, and all is in divine order, and the problem goes away in its infancy. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
When the problem is just beginning, it goes away quite easily. But you exacerbate that problem, you make it grow, you water it, you tell the world about it, you say how terrible it is, you say, oh my goodness, oh my gracious, oh me, and the world says, I really don't want to be too close to that person. It might rub off, you know. I don't want their unhappiness or their problem to rub off, you know. I want to be totally perfect, totally what I am and not what they are. And so if a person is whole and perfect, he does not associate with a person who's sick. You can always be sure that every single person on the face of the earth who associates with a sick person is themselves sick. They say, well, Herb, you mean that all the doctors and nurses are sick? That's right. That's right. Now, this sounds terrible, but why does a doctor want to see sick people? That's where he makes his money, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's his business. He trained himself in being a practitioner of sick people. Now, have you ever heard of anybody training themselves to be a practitioner of perfect people? Of whole people? Of people who are fantastic? Wow! Well, you see, you don't have to be a practitioner of them, because you yourself are fantastic, and that's all you see in the world, and there's no improvement needed. There's no polishing needed between a fantastic person and another fantastic person. So, nurses, they see sick people because they have the attitude and the consciousness of sickness. They've been trained as a nurse of sick people. Now, mothers have been trained in raising children. Now, here the skit changes just a little bit. Does the mother believe that her children are whole and perfect and that her children are divine, super, wonderful, fantastic, indescribably great?
Yes.
If the mother, that's nice of you to say that, but if the mother thinks that, her kids will be that way. You understand?
Like mine.
And if the mother ever doesn't think that way, then the kids will reflect that. Now, I would say, of the two mothers, Mariella and Ellen, Mariella takes first place. Why does Mariella take first place? Because she just loves her kids and sees them doing the right thing and in the right way at all times. You understand? She doesn't tell them what to do or make them do it. She just is a good example herself. And little by little, those kids, when they leave that house, they may never have washed their clothing or put things away. No, Ellen, don't laugh. When they go into their own home, they're going to be orderly, because that's what their mother was. That's what they were trained subliminally to be. They were not forced to do it, you know, by put your clothes away, do this, do that. They were trained by this, the example. Do they love their mother?
Yeah.
Do they want to be like their mother?
Yes.
All right. You see, now, do you love your doctor? Do you want to be like your doctor?
Mm.
Well, not really, you know. Do you love your nurse? You want to be like your nurse? Well, not really. You want to be like your dentist, you know? You want to be like your chiropractor?
No.
There's nothing wrong with them, but their business is people's with problems. Now, do you want to be like, say, Socrates? He had an end like Jesus, you know? You want to be like a Socrates. Now, what did Socrates do?
He asked questions.
He taught his students how to think. He taught his students how to think, and his students went away as masters. And everything that they faced beautifully. However, there were a few little schnooks in there who said, Socrates said we should do this, and Socrates said we should do that, where Socrates never said that. He said, if you do this, you get that response. If you do that, it's that response. Whatever response you want, that's what you should do, you know. whatever response you want. And they said, well, Socrates told us that we should think this way and that way. But you see, they were the limited ones. They were the ones who did not attend every class. They just attended class when it was convenient or comfortable for them to attend. Now, do you want wholeness as your forte in life? Do you want wholeness as your game, your reality? Do you want wholeness as your natural experience in life? Sounds good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you have wholeness as your natural experience in life? Number one, you say, I like me. If you don't like yourself, you can be sure you're not going to have wholeness. People who don't like themselves, they make illness for themselves, and they make terrible illness. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until it just takes them away. Or that's the way they escape. But the thing is, it's never too late. It's never too late. You can be at the 11th hour. And I've had 11th hour people. And I've worked with them, and they said, ah, yes, God, you know, what a waste of time. No, 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 you got it now. That's the important thing. There is no waste of time. You got it now. And they were whole and perfect. Now, do you want to be whole and perfect? Every one of you has a complaint. You're too fat. You're too thin. You're too short. You're too tall. You're... body chemistry isn't operating perfectly. Your body is doing things that it's not supposed to do. You have a cold, you have a flu, you have other things, you know. And now, if those are attitudes that you have in your mind, then you're sick. And if you're sick, then next step, death. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? But that's what it is. Okay, now, what is the result of sickness, death? What is the result of being whole and perfect?
Eternal life.
Life eternal. Life forever. What's the name of that show, Forever, what? Dale?
Tuck Everlasting.
Tuck Everlasting. Have you seen it?
Ah, nice.
Yeah, yeah. These family drink of a well under a tree or for water, you know, and they become everlasting. But we'll see that you see it. It's a good one. Now, we don't want to do that. We don't want to be tuck everlasting. We don't want to be forced to be what anything. And he was forced to be something by drinking the water. And it was not bad what he was forced to be. Everybody on earth says that's what they want to do, but they want to fit in with their community. Now, think. Why did Tuck Everlasting hate themselves and hate their world? Because they were the only ones in their world who had this wonderful gift. And their world came and went, came and went. They fell in love with people and they died. They had relationships and they ended. They had whatever and whatever. And nothing ever happened to them. And you see, if their world had been that way. Now, do you think that this Tuck family could have created everyone on earth experiencing immortality without drinking the water?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How would they do it? They would have a different attitude toward their gift. They thought their gift was an evil tragedy that fell upon them. They couldn't be injured. They couldn't die. You know, they just kept living, and nobody could hurt them. They just do silly, crazy things, and they could be untouched. You know, but anyhow, you see, even with that type of immortality, which is, gets pretty close to the immortality that most people think about, you don't want it. You don't want it. For instance now, if you work on yourself and make your affirmations, make your statements of truth about yourself, and return to your original purity and integrity, where you are immortal, What's going to happen to your mommy and daddy and your sister and brothers and your aunts and uncles and wives and husbands and family and kids, huh? What's going to happen to them? Are they going to have that same experience too?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And you see, that's the tough part of this game. And whether you like it or not, you know that. You know that. And what do you say when you do something stupid? You say, I'm only human. Because the human does stupid things. You say, I'm only human. And then I say, well, you want to be divine? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, then, bless everybody in the world. Peace, peace, peace. You know, that's what the Pope does. Peace. He doesn't say, gimme. He says, peace. You know? Why is old Buck, you know? So, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Know your role. Do you know that the Pope has nobody to play golf with? The Pope has nobody to go out and drink with? The Pope has nobody to go to dances with?
No.
Not just a minute. The Pope has nobody to do anything with which would be, quote, unquote, normal. Because everybody lets the Pope win. You think they want to be better than the Pope, you know? They're not going to be on the staff very long here or be his friends. So, that's tough. And that's what being perfect is. Being perfect, you always win. You're always on top. You're always whole and perfect. Now, this is part and parcel of why people do not want to be whole and perfect. Why people eat things they know are not good for them. Now, Heinz has been studying dietary delights of things that are beneficial for health, and Mark has been studying it, and you guys say you've been studying it, but I haven't seen you practicing it. And Heinz is practicing it, and Mark is practicing it, and other people are practicing it. And are they unhappy?
No.
You see, they are dogs. They are dogs who don't know that there's any other kind of dog food. And they're perfectly happy with the dog food that they eat day in, day out. And they relish that dog food. They just barf it down and scarf it down because that's their special dish.
Mm-hmm.
And after they're done, oh, they play around. They like to, you know, pretend they want other things, but they don't really want it. Because their body does not know how to handle these other things. Their body does not know how to handle the rich human-type foods, and the human body doesn't know how to handle it either. And it gets into the body of the dog, and it makes flatulence for them. They fart all over the place, you know? And well, we have flatulence, too, whenever we eat certain foods. And it's stupid. And their stools are loose when they start having table scraps. When they eat their diet alone, they have nice, firm stools, and it's just wonderful. It's easy to pick it up and and clean the yard, you know. But this is the wonderful thing. Now, you see, a dog has more intelligence than we do because the dog creates you feeding him dog food. But sometimes a dog creates people who are super loving and who'll slip him a chunk of beef or something like that, you know. But it's really not good for him. And Rex is a retriever, and he doesn't eat what he catches. He just brings it to me. Now, Ellen is training her schnauzer to be a retriever, and not to eat it, but to bring it to her. And by and large, she's doing that. But she's got to have that attitude in her mind. When she's got that attitude in her mind, he will do that. But when she's got that attitude in her mind that he's going to kill it and eat it, then he'll kill it and eat it. Why?
Because I think so.
Because you're his creator. You are the one who created Button being what Button is. Now, that's up to you. Now, how about your kids, Ellen? Now, be careful. How about your kids? Do they all follow a perfect diet suitable for themselves? And the answer is no. They follow a diet that delights them. They follow a diet that makes them feel happy and content. They don't eat just dog food, you know. If they ate just dog food, how healthy they would be. Because in the dog food are all the things that are beneficial to a dog's health, and a dog lives a long life with that perfect diet. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have studied the diets of astronauts, and it's a bunch of garbage. The diets of astronauts are a pseudo-diet of a normal human being, you know, and that's terrible. So what happens with the pseudo-diet of a normal human being? The astronauts have all the problems. Whereas if they would put the astronauts for a year or two before they go onto their space project on a pure dog food diet, for instance, or something of that nature, food that is specially prepared with all the vitamins, minerals, and stuff they think they need, and then dry it, you know, and prepare it, not canned, but prepare it as dried dog food, like dog food. They would be the healthiest astronauts in the world, and they would never want to go back to the other food. Because they would see the difference in their body. They would see the difference in their muscle. They would see the difference in their body tone. They wouldn't have too much fat or too little fat. They would have everything just perfect about them. You understand?
Yeah.
No. You are not going to change your diet. The NASA has not created an astronaut diet like that, because when interviewed, the astronaut says they wouldn't eat a diet like that, that they wanted something, you know, more normal. And so they take a tube of mashed potatoes and they put it in the squirt and they shove it in their mouth in their plastic bag, and then they like a tube of toothpaste into their mouth. Now, I've had mashed potatoes, you know, blah, 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 boo. You know, good gracious sakes. If they had eaten some dry food and had some water, they would have been so healthy, and they would have had beautiful stools that would have been almost dry, but, you know, enough, and they would have no trouble at all. You understand how beautiful that is? Now, why is it that healing does not work for most people using treatment and using positive thinking? Because most people are not serious enough to do it. I have people coming to the ranch here, and I say to them, I would like you to do this so that you can experience your wholeness. And I say, now, for 9 hours, you walk the path. You walk the path. But I'm hurting. For 9 hours, you walk the path. And you say, I like me, all is in divine order. I like me, all is in divine order. And they don't do it. You know what they do? And I know what they do. They curl up under the nearest tree from which they think I can't see them. They don't know that I have eyes over the whole campus. And I can see exactly what they're doing. I don't care. It's their decision. If they want wholeness, Rex, that's enough. Down. Rex, down. Thank you. If they want the healing, they will do the program that we offer, or else they don't come here. Because they can go home and do whatever they please, but when they come here, if they will follow my directions, they leave here with an attitude of wholeness and a body of wholeness, and liking how they got there and how they're going to stay there in wholeness. Because disease, illness, whatever you may have, it comes back again and again and again, not because the virus is there, not because the original experience is there, but because the thought is there. The thought that brought it to you in the first place is still there. You haven't cleaned up. You haven't cleaned up your consciousness and said to yourself that you're in charge. And when you clean up your consciousness and say to yourself, you're in charge, then it's good forever. It's good forever. It's good for any condition that might come along. Because you're instantly the master. Instantly. Sylvie got a sting the other night, and I said, did you immediately say you're home, Pert? She didn't like it. And so she was concentrating on the sting and not on being whole and perfect. I got stung by a bee the other day, and right by my eye here. And I was sweeping him away as I was coming up the path, and he stung and left a stinger behind. So I went home, and I took my knife and popped the stinger out, you know, right in my eye, and left it, and It was a little swollen for a bit because it was mistreated, but it went right away. Now, if I had said, oh, and not taken the stinger out and worried about it and worried about trying to do this and trying to do that, what would have happened? I would have had the worst scenario that you could have with a bee sting. I have no idea what the worst scenario is, and I don't even care to know. All I know is I say I'm whole and perfect, and I don't have that scenario. You could say the same thing, but say it about whatever you're doing. You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. When that's the only thought in your mind, the only thought in your thinking, the only thought in your heart, in your soul, then that's the only experience you have. But unless you're willing to pay the price and come here to campus and let me work with you, no, unless you're willing to give the attention and time to speaking your word of truth about yourself, it'll never work for you. You can shout from here to forever. But the moment you speak your word, and speak it with authority, and speak it to yourself, not so, hey, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, you know. Jesus said, he's already got his reward. You know, he shouted from the hilltops, and everybody says, look at that, oh, holy man, you know. But you want to have your holiness in the quietness of your heart, and in the quietness of your body, and in the quietness of your mind. I like me, I like me, I like me. All is in divine order. I like me, I like me, I like me. All is in divine order. I like me, I like me, I like me. All is in divine order. If you're not careful, as you're saying this, you'll be saying it like this. All is in divine order. I like me, I like me. All is in divine order. I like me, I like me. All is in divine order. And you're saying it back as too. And that's not the thing to do. First you say, I like me. First you say, I like me. First you put that cause in motion. And then you say, all is in divine order. Then you make the affirmation as to that which is true. First you make the affirmation of who you are, that you like yourself, and then you say, all is in divine order. This is what brings healing to you and wholeness into your life, and it's what works. And we'll be talking about it another time, because the absolute philosopher never gives up. Rex, are you taking the floor? Rex is telling you in his own words, I love you, I love you, I love you.